Suddenly, we're kissing, aggressively kissing. He pulls my body up against his, arms wrapped tightly around me. His head slants, and the kiss deepens. He explores my mouth as his body presses fully against mine. I feel his hardness and strength through the thin fabric of my dress. My body becomes a live wire. Goosebumps erupt from my neck to my ankles. My belly clenches. My nipples stiffen. And for the first time in my life, I get wet. From a kiss. Holy sexy hell. We're moving. Drew lifts me up and we're moving as we kiss. I'm not sure where, and I don't care, as long as he doesn't stop kissing me. When my back hits something, we stop. Every time he takes a breath, he nips my lips, making me want more. Then one hand slides down to my hip and squeezes as he grasps me tighter, pressing me to his body. He jerks his mouth away from mine.
Fuck, Kate. Caitlin, Kate, Kate, Kate.
A litany of Kates. Then his mouth is back on mine for only a second, and I moan in protest when he pulls away. The thought occurs to me that this is more than a mere kiss. My body tingles and my knees are weak. My fingers sink into his shoulders so I don't crash to the sidewalk. This is something poems are written about and erotic novels are penned over. I am wet between my thighs, and the only things he's touched other than my face are my mouth and hip. Once more, his lips find mine and passionately kiss me, tongue sliding against mine, turning my stomach into a knotted frenzy and making my head spin. This time, when he stops, it takes me a second to collect myself.
Come to my room with me, please. We don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with, I swear. I just want to hold you and stare at you and wake up with you. And maybe I sound like some pussy-whipped bitch, but I'm not ready to send you home.
My brows must hit my hairline, and I giggle. Only because I'm drunk. Drunk on his kisses. I hate giggly girls. But the idea of him being a pussy-whipped bitch makes me die laughing.
Yes. Okay, I'll come, but I won't fuck you.
I blurt out.
No, no fucking at all. Not one tiny little bit of fucking. I solemnly swear. Scout's honor. God, you're so fucking beautiful.
This man is perfect. He's like my dream guy. And to think I almost didn't go out with him. I wasn't looking for this, but what a huge mistake that would have been. He links our hands, and we walk back to his room. I hope this is real, and not the alcohol making me feel this way. I stop for a second and pinch my arm.
What's wrong? Did a bug bite you?
No. I only wanted to make sure I wasn't dreaming. And in an instant, his arms wrap around me, his mouth hovering over mine.
You're not dreaming, Kate. This is the real deal.
And he kisses me again, stealing every bit of my air away. When he finally breaks the kiss off, I run my fingers over his lips. I shake my head to clear my thoughts. I don't know what I was thinking.
What do you mean?
Why I didn't jump at the chance to go out with you. What the hell was wrong with me? Then I realize I'm sounding stupid, and I've said the words out loud. I need to shut my mouth before I scare the poor man away.
That's why I had that goal, Kate.
I have a confession to make, I say as we start walking again.
Yeah?
I tripped on purpose. I wanted an excuse to touch you. He stops and faces me.
Seriously?
I nod, and he kisses me again.
I knew when I saw you at that party we were gonna click.
Soon the union looms in front of us, and I'm suddenly nervous. What if we get naked? Oh, no, I haven't done any muffinscaping. No shaving or waxing. Nada. I look like an overgrown grizzly down below. Oh, fuck. What am I gonna do? This is so unexpected. I never imagined we'd get past dinner. Maybe I can sneak into the bathroom and use his razor. But then I look at his face and remember he's sporting a bit of scruff. So I doubt he even brought one for the night. Shit doodle.
What is it? Please don't say you're having second thoughts. I promise, Kate, we can just sit and talk. I only want to spend time with you.
I know. I trust you, Drew. And oddly enough, I do. As my thoughts travel back to the possibilities, it comes to me. I can say I don't get naked ever on first dates. Yes, that's it. Perfectly reasonable and acceptable. We make it to his room, and he asks if I care for something to drink. I ask for water. In minutes, one is in my hand, which I greedily drink. The way he stares at me, I'm guessing he knows I'm nervous.
You have regrets, don't you?
I shake my head. It's not that.
Please tell me. I don't want anything to weigh on your mind.
My stupid, stupid mouth blurts right out. I look like an overgrown grizzly below the waist.
Huh?
I suppose being a man, he just doesn't understand. So I raise my index finger and then aim it directly between my thighs. It's obvious when the light bulb goes on because he smiles. Hugely.
It's fine. I didn't plan on us getting naked anyway.
Okay. So I just told him my deepest, darkest, most humiliating secret. Well, almost most humiliating. For nothing? I embarrassed myself to death for no purpose whatsoever. I want to crawl in a hole and die. I do the only thing I know. I grab the nearest pillow and bury my face in it. The most beautiful man I've ever met, with the most gorgeous eyes on the planet, sits before me, and I just told him that my muffin looks like Sasquatch. This goes down as the most humiliating moment of my life, replacing the dickwad. I will never live this down. Ever. Chapter 3. Present. Lively music and my livelier co-workers fill the lounge, but I see and hear none of it. I stare into the mirror on the back of the bar, wondering whose reflection I see. I barely recognize the woman staring back at me with the vacant eyes. Drew, Andy, is here in town. It's been 3 days since I saw him, and I can't get him out of my head.
Kate, you're too quiet. This is a celebration. We've completed the Canaan count. Maybe now we can sleep for more than 4 hours a night.
Daniel grins and puts a tumbler to his lips.
At least until our meeting next Monday to discuss our next project.
He laughs at his own joke as Mandy strolls over with two drinks in her hand. She leans down to whisper in my ear, I'm not sure what's going on with you tonight, but you will celebrate. I take the proffered drink, feeling like a Daisy Downer. She lifts up her glass, and my team of co-workers all raise their glasses. Not wanting to be the odd man out, I do the same and plaster a smile on my face. To us, and especially Kate. Without her last-minute save, we all might be in the office reworking the project. Mandy announces.
To Kate.
Everyone toasts. To the team. I counter. There's no I in team. We all put in the hours, and we all will hopefully reap the rewards.
Hear, hear,
comes a chorus of cheers. I have no idea if we will get bonuses for completing the job on time, other than the day off we were given. Still, a girl can hope. I toss back the shot with no idea what kind of liquor it is. The burn hits my throat, and I feel the cinnamon taste not only in my mouth, but in the tears that form in my eyes. It's a fireball. When my eyes pop out of my head, Mandy thumps my back, as if I were choking. I keep my mouth closed for fear I will breathe out fire like a dragon. It'll put hair on your chest, Mandy chirps. Her honey brown curls bounce, as if she's unable to contain all the energy she has inside her. At least that's what Dad told my brothers when they had their first taste of alcohol. I'm pretty sure my esophagus will never be the same, I croak. Here. Have another? My expression freezes as I give her a you're crazy stare. You're kidding me, right? Or maybe you're just trying to poison me. She tosses her head back and barks out a belly laugh. Kate, I swear we love you. I know you're worried because you're the newest member of the team, and you might feel as though we're intimidated that you pulled this one out of the crapper. But honestly, everyone is happier here. Happy clients mean we all have jobs. So take another for the team. She's right. No one has ever made me feel unwanted at work. Worry has clouded my thoughts. What she doesn't know is that it's Drew, or rather Andy, that has me rattled. Seeing him after all this time brings to the surface so many regrets. I pick up the shot, and this time I'm ready for it. I clink her glass and chant, "To the team," before I drink it down. Mandy's sly glance at me makes me suspicious. "There is one other thing you should know."
"What's that?"
I dab at my eyes, hoping the moisture the fireball caused doesn't mess up my makeup. "Daniel has a crush on you." While I almost choke, Mandy's gaze remains steady on me.
"You like him?"
I ask, confused.
"No."
She violently shakes her head. "It's just, he's sweet, but super cute," she amends. "And I've known him forever, and I feel sort of protective over him. So don't break his heart."
She taps my shoulder before she walks away, and I blink rapidly, unsure of what just happened.
"Hey."
I glance up, and Daniel stands before me.
"Mind if I sit with you?"
"Sure."
I shrug, trying not to let Mandy's comments make things weird between us. Still, I'm nervous about what he's about to say. I take the last of the shooters and drink it. He smiles, but sighs, and I watch as he gears himself up to say something.
"Take another shot with me."
The words burst out of me because I don't want to have to turn him down. Mandy's right about one thing. He's cute in that nerdy superhero way. With his dark hair and black framed glasses, I have to wonder if he has on a blue and red leotard under his suit. Or maybe that's the alcohol talking. Before he can answer, though, I order another two rounds. The drinks start to go down easier, especially after the fifth one. I've managed to stave off any Dayton topics and only traded smiles. I thwart any opportunity on his part to speak by shouting toasts to everyone, from our boss to the janitors in the building. But now, I've run out of excuses.
"Kate, I was wondering..."
The music stops, and Mandy's voice booms out of the speakers.
"Kate, where are you, girl?"
Feeling unsteady myself, I can still tell she's been drinking much more than I have because her words are slurred.
"Wait, that's me,"
I say, pointing to myself. I frown when I notice it's harder for me to communicate than it should have been.
"Kate, Katie, come sing with me,"
Mandy croons. The crowd begins to chant my name, and I glance up at Daniel. My eyes feel heavy, yet this is the escape I've been searching for.
"I gotta go, but I'll see you later."
I sway a little when I get to my feet, and Daniel's hands are there to steady me. In fact, he helps me navigate the crowd.
"You have nice hands and nice teeth."
"I like a man with good teeth," I absently say. Daniel shakes his head.
"Be careful up there, Katie,"
he teases as he helps me up on stage, and it feels like old times. I think of Jenna, and I miss her terribly. She is planning a visit. What will I tell her about Drew? I mean, Andy. That's gonna take a bit of getting used to. Mandy is cracking up before the song even comes on. When the popular tune begins, I know the song automatically. I sling an arm over my friend, and we begin to sing enthusiastically. Daniel is our only co-worker who managed to snag a spot up front. With lights bearing down on us, I have no one I know to focus on, and I end up serenading Daniel, so my semi-embarrassment won't cause me to puke. Unfortunately, the song Mandy picked isn't quite the message I'd wanted to send. The crowd's enthusiasm urges me on. "I know I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe." Sometime after karaoke and a few more rounds of shots, I've forgotten the mess I'm creating. Daniel is by my side the whole time, encouraging me not to drink, but not stopping me either. By the time we make it out of the bar, we're hot and sweaty. Daniel is flagging us a cab while trying to keep Mandy and me on our feet. The frigid air should have been a balm, yet I can barely put one step in front of another. Katie, I'm so glad you moved here. Mandy slurs. The office was so dull until you showed up. We finally stumble to a stop near the curb. I place my arms on her shoulders, needing her to focus on me as I tell her how I feel because feelings are important. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't met you. It's a cruel, cruel world, but you're the happiest person I've ever met, and I need happy. You're my bestest friend, but don't tell my best friend I said that. Jenna's not normally a jealous person, but don't piss that girl off. She's a scrapper. Mandy nods because she gets me. I promise I won't tell. We can be secret bosom buddies. We hug until Daniel breaks it up. I want to tell him that even though I'm not into him, I'm not into girls either. His voice interrupts my swirling thoughts. Now, I'm no longer sure what was so important for me to say. Daniel and his four doppelgangers steady us.
Come on, ladies. Be careful of the snow and ice.
I feel like I'm on a ship. The boat is rocking. I think we might capsize. Where are our life vests?
Kate.
That voice, I know it. I spin and the world tilts. It's the Titanic all over again. I call out as I fall forward. I never reach bottom. Thank God for the life vest. I mutter. I feel it tight around me.
Kate,
the voice says again. Drew. I shake my head. No, it's Andy now. I slur. Not Drew, can't call you that, it's Andy. Daniel comes into view, and I'm not sure if Andy is there or not, or if I'm only hearing voices.
It's okay, I can take her off your hands, I'll get her home, Daniel says.
Somehow I regain my feet, but my vision continues to swirl. Damn, 4-inch heels aren't doing me any favors.
I like those heels, Mandy responds. And I realize I've spoken out loud. When I'm steady, I glance up into piercing blue eyes. I feel the Arctic air they bring. Andy. I give myself a thumbs up for remembering his new name. You're really here. I notice his steadying hand at the small of my back. I start to melt into him and lean up to press my lips to his when I catch sight of two guys behind him. I wave, because it's only polite. As wasted as I am, I don't want to embarrass Andy in front of his friends or colleagues.
Katie, you can stop waving now. Mandy is by my side and conspiratorially whispers only to me. By the smirks on the guys' faces, they must have superhuman hearing abilities. Who are these handsome guys? Have you been holding out on me?
Kate, Mandy, I have a cab. We should go now.
Daniel sounds way too sober. Mandy and I turn to face him. Don't be such a Clark Kent, I say to him over my shoulder. When I glance to Andy, his back is turned to me. I can't hear what he's saying. When he turns around, I'm struck by just how goddamn good-looking he is. I hear Mandy introduce herself, and the guys speak, but my gaze is locked with Andy's.
Kate.
I blink a few times, only now putting it together that Andy was talking to me. The two good-looking guys wave a quick goodbye and walk away. I chance speaking. You didn't have to let them go. Superman here. I hook a thumb in Daniel's direction. Is gonna save the day and take us home. As Andy blurs into one instead of two, I see his brows arch.
Superman, huh?
A glance at Daniel confirms that three of him agree, as their smiles beam like the girl in the toothpaste commercials. I pat Andy's chest, and when I feel the solid muscle under my palm, I pat it a few more times. No need to be jealous, you're totally Batman, and everyone knows Batman is the sexiest of them all.
Not everyone, Mandy declares.
She sounds drunk. And I'm almost embarrassed for her.
No offense, Batman, but I'm really into Thor. So if you are truly the Dark Knight, will you hook me up with that Chris Hemsworth lookalike that just left? What was his name? Her words sputter, but somehow it all comes out coherently.
Guys, the cab is waiting.
Daniel, hold your horses.
Mandy drawls as she shifts her focus to our coworker.
Wait, you do look like Clark Kent.
We high-five it, but miss. That's weird. We try again and totally fail. I start to crack up because it's so damn funny. She shakes her head and decides to take a step in Daniel's direction. I try to follow, because his face is so sour you'd think he'd swallowed a lime. However, Andy doesn't let me go.
I'll make sure she ends up home safe,
Andy declares. Daniel straightens, his superpower allowing him to morph from 3 into 5. I can't help but comment.
You are so outnumbered,
I say to Andy, or no one, I'm not sure. Andy glances down at me, but there isn't humor in his eyes. When his face does that horror movie blur deal, I murmur,
you aren't Batman, are you? You're something else.
I am something,
he mumbles back. Then his voice takes on bass and strengthens.
I've got her. You can take her friend home.
The ocean starts to roll again, and I lean on Andy, pressing my cheek on his chest. His wool coat is rough on my frozen cheek, but I move in closer, wanting to hear his heartbeat. I need to know he's alive, and I'm not in some crazy dream.
I'm not sure that's a good idea. We're coworkers, and I don't know who you are, Daniel says.
Andy's voice sounds muffled through one ear and clear out of the other.
Kate and I, we have history. I guarantee she's safe with me. I'll get her home.
Information I need to share gives me the strength to stand on my own once again.
Yeah, we're gonna have dinner and catch up on old times. I mean new times, and we're planning to have breakfast.
I laugh before I become thoughtful.
I haven't had breakfast in a while,
I say absently, and in an even softer voice, because I have to share this secret only with Mandy, I add,
you know what breakfast is code word for.
I giggle, and I can't stop it, even though I hate to giggle.
Breakfast,
Mandy gives a thumbs up. Something must be in her eye, because she has one closed with a weird look on her face.
Call and tell me all about it in the morning. I haven't had breakfast either, and I love sausage.
She giggles the whole time as Daniel hustles her into the cab, and I feel the world tilt. Andy steadies me. Then Daniel calls out,
are you sure you're going to be all right, Kate?
I want to nod, but I'm starting to feel nauseous.
You're leaving me in good hands. He's a doctor, you know.
Daniel has lost his clones and gives me a curt nod before getting in the cab next to Mandy. When they drive off, I wonder why I feel bad about what I said. I've only been honest. But that thought leaves as another wave of seasickness fills me.
My car is this way.
They have cars on oceans now? I think I need some Dramamine. I don't feel so good.
We stop, and Andy faces me.
How much did you drink tonight?
I try to shrug, but my shoulders feel like lead weights.
Did you eat anything tonight?
Fries enter my mind first. An unpleasant gurgle in my stomach forces the images of food to back off. I shake my head and speak through pressed lips.
I can't talk about it.
Okay, fine. Let's get you home.
Andy steers me along, and my feet start to ache. I stop and attempt to take off my heels, but Andy's hands stop me.
Kate, sweetheart, it's too cold for you to walk barefoot.
My feet hurt.
I complain, but he has me standing upright again.
It's not far, I promise.
I don't think I can make it. Save yourself. I'll just stay here to die.
I brush off his hands while trying to let gravity pull me to the ground. Andy chuckles, then he sweeps me off my feet.
Whoa there, cowboy. You've turned the world upside down.
He speaks so faintly,
I'm not sure I actually heard him say it.
You've turned my world upside down.
In a normal voice, I'm so sure I dreamed those other words, he says,
"We're almost there."
He makes me feel like Cinderella, and I'm waiting for the magic to wear off. He shouldn't be so nice to me. Why are you always trying to take care of me? He stares at me, and when he stops moving, his words are out of sync with the opening and closing of his mouth.
Because I...
Whatever direction he was going with that thought changes.
We aren't going to talk about the past, right?
I don't answer, because somewhere through the cloud of inebriation, I know that's the plan. I try to focus on making it to his car without puking on him. When we arrive at the public garage, the only thing I will remember later about his car is that it's sleek and shiny. He helps me sink into the buttery leather seat, and I close my eyes, grateful I didn't vomit the whole way here. When my lashes flutter open, I realize I'm home. It's dark, and I have no memory of how I got here. What I do notice is that I'm still fully dressed, and my clothes reek of alcohol. The stench makes me gag, yet I manage to stand. The fact that I sway on my feet tells me that alcohol still courses through my veins. I must not have been home very long. I have to steady myself on the wall after taking a few steps. The zing of pain in my feet alerts me that I still have my heels on. I kick them off before I walk out the room in search of the bathroom. I don't bother to turn on any lights for fear of causing a blinding headache. The first door I open turns out to be a closet. I shake my head and turn in circles as my world continues to revolve around me. I walk down the hall until finally I make it into my bath. Fumbling with my sweater, I remember the thin belt at my waist. I have a doozy of a time getting it undone, along with pulling the sweater over my head. That task done, I move next to undo my skirt. I end up chasing the back zipper like a dog does its tail. Finally, I give up and yank it off. My thong is a breeze, but the bra gives me hell. When I'm finally naked, I grope for the shower knob and wait for the warm water. I pull open the door and pause because something's not right. Then I remember the night with Andy and Daniel. I blink, but step in the shower, hoping to clear out the confusion with the steam. Standing there for a second, I recall Daniel's deflated look. I wonder how I'll face him at work on Monday, and how I'll survive Mandy's wrath. She did warn me. After a good scrub, I practically tumble out of the shower, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something. My teeth. I snag the toothbrush and paste and get to work. Minty fresh breath doesn't annoy my stomach. I fumble my way into the bedroom and leave the towel on the floor as I crawl into bed. With as much trouble as I had taken off my clothes, I don't intend to waste time trying to put pajamas on. When I blink my eyes open at some point later, there are three things I notice. First, the dreaded headache pounds just under the surface of my skull. I know I'm dehydrated by all the alcohol and need to drink some water to help ward it off. Second, the bad taste in my mouth. So much for my earlier brushing. I flick my tongue out, hoping to get rid of my cotton mouth. Third, I'm extremely warm, like I've been wrapped in an electric blanket. I cast off all those considerations and hope sleep will claim me again. I'm not quite ready to wake, and no light seeps through the blinds. It's still dark out, so it's too early to get up. Fantasyland is the best part of sleeping. I so easily slip back into dreamland. I haven't been touched in so long. I've conjured my leading man very craftily with the help of some steamy romance novels I've recently read. His hands, which I've always loved, sweep down my torso. I'm a bit mad he doesn't pay homage to my breasts, but that thought flitters away as his fingertips stroke over my bundle of nerves with perfect pressure. Oh my God, it's been so long, I say languorously.
Yes, it has.
I almost jump out of my skin. My eyes fly open as I jackknife into a sitting position. There is a man in my bed. Drew, I mean, Andy. I shake off the cobwebs because who else could it be? Besides, I would recognize his voice anywhere.
Kate?
Why are you in my bed? I'm now fully aware I'm naked. Fantasyland has morphed into reality. Despite our history, he's never been one to take liberties. I yank the sheet up to neck level.
Actually, you're in my bed.
His proclamation rocks my world. What? I continue to clutch the sheet as I scoot back to lean on the headboard. That's when I notice the room for the first time. The dark furniture isn't positioned the way my more modern pieces are. In fact, the door isn't even on the side of the room it should be, so this can't be my bedroom. He matches my position against the headboard, only he doesn't cover himself. His bare chest is there for me to peruse with my eyes, and my hands, if I were bold enough to do so. His muscled frame is defined ridges and hilltops that beg for my attention. God, he is beautiful. I feel the moisture between my legs, which precedes the heat in my cheeks. He takes my free hand in his and gives me a gentle smile.
Kate, sweetheart, you passed out in my car. I had no idea where you lived. I checked your purse, but you still have a South Carolina driver's license. You should get that changed, by the way.
He kisses my hand as if to put me at ease. His eyes land where I have a white-knuckled grip on the sheet, and he chuckles softly. I feel stupid because he's seen the goods, yet I can't seem to let go of the sheet. Instead, I fill the silence with a hasty explanation. I don't own a car, so I keep forgetting to change my license. He nods and squeezes my hand.
I tried to wake you, but you didn't stir. I had no choice but to bring you home. Not that I'm sorry about it.
His eyes trail down my body like a caress. Where is home? One glance through the partially open blinds, and I know I'm not in downtown D.C.
Baltimore.
Baltimore? He nods again. I could question him more about that, but I have other pressing questions that need answers. Why am I in your bed? The Drew I knew was a gentleman. If he wants us to start from scratch, he wouldn't presume I'd sleep with him.
I don't know. I put you in my spare bedroom, fully dressed, I might add. I woke up to the sound of you calling my name, begging me to touch you.
His eyes sweep down to my sheet-covered body and back up again. Even though I'm not exposed, I'm mortified by his revelation. Stumbling through his apartment and not finding my way in the middle of the night comes back to me. I'd been in search of the bathroom and eventually crawled into his bed naked. He'd slept through the whole ordeal until I vocalized my fantasies. I slide down and lift the covers to hide myself completely, and then I see I'm not the only one naked. I snatch the covers back off of my head, then have the presence of mind to cover my breasts again. You're naked, I accuse.
Yeah, I kind of sleep that way, but you should know that.
The problem is I know too much. This so isn't going to work. It's way too awkward for me. The past keeps colliding into the present, and even though he seems perfectly fine with it, I'm not. I roll to the side of the bed, dragging the sheet with me. I don't look back as I stand, covering my bare ass and skedaddle to the bathroom where I left my clothes, if drunk memory serves. By the time I come out, fully dressed, sans my underwear, he has pajama bottoms on and is holding a glass of water and a bottle of Advil. In one hand, I hold the balled-up thong I'd felt too gross to put back on after showering and plan to toss in my purse once I find it. He hands me two pills, and I drink them down with the glass of water I take from him.
Thanks. Not a problem. I would drive you home.
He glances at his watch.
But I'm due in the hospital in a half an hour. I guess I overslept.
I wave him off. No, it's fine. I'll call a cab. He shakes his head.
No need. You can drop me off at work and then use my car. I won't need it. Come back later tonight and we can have dinner. Then I'll take you home.
I can't use your car. What if you suddenly need it? He steps forward and cups my chin.
He rubs my cheek with the pad of his thumb. In his beautiful eyes, I see all the memories we made together. The way he clenches his jaw, I know he's fighting back the words to remind me of everything we shared.
I'm gonna be at work all day. I won't need it. And I know we are starting fresh, but we know each other better than this. Take my car and come back tonight. In fact, you can pick me up at work. It will give you the excuse you'll need to have dinner with me.
He presses a kiss to my temple before walking away, leaving me to chew on his words. I watch him lift a pair of pants that are slung across a chair in his room and pull out his car keys. He takes my hand and uncurls my fingers, placing the keys in my palm and closing my hand around them.
Give me a few minutes to shower,
he says before disappearing in the bathroom. I clutch the keys and stop myself from following him into the bathroom. It would be so easy to join him. It's harder to stay rooted to my spot and not simply slide into the routine of us as a couple. Long minutes later, I think I've barely breathed the whole time. The keys bite into my palm from the strength of my clutched fingers. He steps out with a towel around his hips, and the slight pain in my hand is forgotten. He's still damp, with beads of water trickling down his back as he heads into his walk-in closet. I close my eyes and am immediately assaulted with fantasies of him lifting me with his powerful arms and taking me against the tiled shower wall. Clearly it's been a while, I tell myself as I blink my eyes a few times, trying to dispel the images. When he walks out, he's wearing a set of green scrubs. It reminds me of old times. He walks up to me and smooths my unruly hair back. It's probably a bedhead mess. I didn't bother to glance at myself in the mirror when I got dressed.
Come back tonight. I'll fix you dinner.
He's always been one to ask for what he wants. I waver while considering my minor freak after waking up in his bed. No breakfast. As much as he lights my fire in a big way, I can't. I'm not ready for breakfast. His indulgent grin makes me feel silly for even bringing it up.
No breakfast. Not until we're both ready for breakfast. But maybe a snack?
His brow arches in question, and I stare at his lips. My gaze must have lingered too long, because he assumes my answer. His lips radiate warmth and security as they press against mine. For so long, I've missed this. I've missed him. He pulls back, and I almost wish he'd taken it deeper.
Just dinner,
he whispers. I roll in my lower lip and sigh. I have no idea how he doesn't hate me or why he hasn't moved on. He's a great catch and easy on the eye. Women have to be banging down his door, which makes me jealous just thinking about it. Then again, despite our pact for a fresh start, nothing between us can ever be uncomplicated. But I haven't felt this way in a long time. I close my eyes for a second before meeting his. I take the plunge. Dinner, then. Chapter 4. Past. Jenna greets me with a grin as I walk into the apartment from class. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm more than ready for the weekend to begin. What? I ask. Her sly smile tells me something's up. You have a present waiting, she replies in a sing-songy voice. My excitement amps up 10 levels. Her tone indicates it can only be from one person. I'm seeing him tomorrow, so I'm nearly shaken to find out. Where is it? On the counter? I head over there to find a box that's wrapped up in colorful paper with a pretty bow. My greedy fingers tear into the paper, shredding it in the process. The box is no match for me. When I lift the lid, I break out in a giant belly laugh. It's a huge, cute, furry Sasquatch with a note attached.
I'm sorry, but when I ran across this, I simply couldn't resist. Can't wait to see you. Yours, Drew.
Jenna looks on with a smirk. Do I dare ask? She reaches for my new fuzzy friend as I still laugh.
Oh, God. I'm not sure you want to know. Right, like you're getting out of this one. I should have known better. So I tell her about my confession to Drew on our first date. She straightens and crosses her arms over her chest in exasperation. Please, to God, tell me you did not share that with him. I cover my face with my new furry friend. I did. I had a few drinks and I sort of overshared. What can I say? So let me get this straight. You told him you looked like a grizzly? Her face says it all. It's all screwed up like she bit a lemon. Kind of. That was at first. Then I said it was more like Sasquatch. Really, Kate? You sure know how to set the mood. Now it's my turn to make the face. It gets better. That was after he said he had no intention of getting naked and sleeping with me. Oh, now that's a double fuck. And he actually asked you out again? I'm impressed. What the hell were you thinking? I rub my brow. I already told you my mouth ran away from me. Okay, rule number one, do not drink to a point that on your first date with a guy, you allow yourself to tell him shit like that. My head hangs down. I know, I didn't mean to, but it just sort of happened. We were having so much fun. Clearly, he must have too. Why else would he be taking you out again? He bought you a stuffed Bigfoot, Kate. Then she turns to me with a serious look. Have you waxed? Yes, I'm all muffin-scaped now. Who did your waxing? I hope you went to the right place. Now I know she's going to kill me. I squeak out. I did it. What do you mean you did it? No one does their own waxing. In all the years I've known Jenna, I have never seen her look so furious. Well, I did. I was trying to save a few bucks, I admit. And I'm trying to save you from humiliation. You probably look like half-squatch. She plucks her phone out of her pocket and thumbs through her contacts. Here's the number of the salon I use. Call them to have your waxing done properly. She rattles off the number. Then I start to think about it. She may have a point. I really couldn't see down there when I was doing it. Maybe I did leave a bunch of hair. That would be awful. Worse than awful, it would be a muff-tastrophe. Okay, I'll call them, just so Louise can look pristine. Who the fuck is Louise? I hold up my index finger and jab it toward Louise. Jesus, see, you named it Louise? How did I not ever know that? It's a private thing. Whatever, I have to go. Just make sure you get Louise taken care of. She closes the door behind her, and I call the salon she uses. When they tell me their prices, I almost croak. That isn't in my budget, unless I skip paying my electric bill for the month. So I hit the number for the cosmetology school I use for my haircuts, wondering if they do waxing. When they tell me they do, I ask their price. I'm excited to find I can afford it. They tell me they can take me in 20 minutes, so I dash out the door with barely enough time to make the appointment. The whole session turns out to be embarrassing, with two strangers getting a bullseye view of Louise, and Louise is rather shy. Their pitying stares at my do-it-yourself wax job gone bad make me think I have a tree sprouting between my legs. When I get home, Jenna is there. She looks at me kind of funny. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I went and got waxed, but my butt cheeks feel weird, like they're stuck together. Is that normal? What? Your butt cheeks are stuck together? No, that's not normal. Who did your waxing? Everyone at my salon is usually great. I give her a sheepish look. Well? I went to the cosmetology school, I confess. She looks horrified. You did what? I couldn't afford your salon, I cry out. It was way out of my budget. Okay, let's stay calm here. So your butt cheeks are stuck together, huh? Then she chuckles, but it turns into a howl. Stop, it's not funny. My unders are crammed up there now, too. She slaps her knee with this news and snorts. What? Oh my God, you have a wax wedgie. I throw a pillow at her. Stop, what am I gonna do? Let's Google how to get the wax off. Jenna pulls it up on her computer, and using some special oil, my butt cheeks are freed from their waxy prison. Right as we finish, My phone buzzes. I look down to see Drew's name. Thank God he didn't call an hour ago. I would have been mortified. Hey, Drew.
Kate, what's a gorgeous girl like you doing on a Friday afternoon?
Getting all my hairs yanked out by the roots and freeing the cheeks of my ass so I can be smooth if you happen to run your hand down my pants tomorrow. Oh, nothing very exciting. Trying to do a little studying before tomorrow.
Yeah, about tomorrow.
My heart plunges. I know he's gonna cancel on me, and I've never felt this way about someone canceling a date. What?
I was wondering if you'd mind very much if I came up early.
Early?
Yeah, like in the afternoon. Would that be okay?
That would be great. My belly suddenly warms. I'd love that. I wish you would have said tonight.
You sure? I don't want to wear out my welcome or anything.
Like that could ever happen. No, I'm positive. And the invitation is still open for you to stay here if you'd like. I hate for you to have to pay for a hotel room, and Jenna doesn't mind.
I was gonna ask you that. If it's okay with you both, then I'll take you up on your offer.
That'll be fine. Great, actually. Oh my God, he's gonna spend the night here. I end up squeezing the phone so hard it pops out of my hand and drops to the floor, lost in those lusty thoughts. I have to scramble to pick it up. What's that?
So is lunchtime too early? Like, say, 1?
Not at all. That's perfect. Oh, and thanks for my Sasquatch. I'll sleep with it tonight. I laugh.
I never thought I'd be jealous of a stuffed animal.
Strange things happen in life, Drew.
They certainly do. So, tell me how your week's been.
Crazy. What about yours? I don't know much about what a doctor does.
I spend a lot of time at the clinic seeing patients. Then I have hospital hours and rounds. It was a good week. But I want to know about you. What do you like to do in your spare time?
I laugh. Hard. When I get any, I run. That's pretty much my go-to. I like to squeeze a run in whenever I can, although I don't do it as much as I'd like. It's weird, but it helps me think. If I ever get writer's block, a run usually breaks me out of it.
I knew we'd have something in common. I love to run, too.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning running that night at dinner. You lift weights, too.
Do you?
No, sadly.
Do I sense your face scrunching up?
How in the hell did he know that? You got me.
Why not weights?
I hate to count.
Kate, that makes no sense. You're majoring in accounting.
As soon as he says it, we both crack up.
I can see it now. Kate Forbes, the accountant, who hates to count. Want me to make you a sign? It could say, Kate Forbes, CPA. I hate counting.
That really is bad, isn't it? I'm gonna suck. Suddenly, we're both quiet. But then his voice comes to me and he says,
I could say something to that comment, but I think I'll refrain.
Again, I get those warm shivers and goosebumps erupt all over my skin. I'm not sure what to say now.
Then let me do the talking. Can I just say I'm really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow?
So am I.
I better go. A text just came through from the hospital.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow, and be safe driving.
Always. Have a nice evening, Kate.
I stand there cradling my phone. If you could only see the smile on your face, Jenna says, interrupting my thoughts. My girl, Kate, I do believe you have it bad for that man. Do I? I'm not sure because I have no comparators. I can't count Dick Wad. He never evoked deep feelings other than humiliation. There have been others that I've dated, but none of them even stick out as memorable. It sounds like I'm a loser now that I think of it, but it's only that no one ever captured my attention. Not until Drew. He certainly has my attention. I'll give him that much.
Will you give him more?
I've never seen you interested enough to be concerned about your girly bits. In all honesty, Kate, I wondered a time or two if you batted for the other team.
What?
Oh my God, I can't believe she said that. Don't get mad about it. But damn, you get hit on all the time, but never take anyone up on it. She does have a valid point. I don't because none of them interested me. Well, there was Dickwad.
Yeah, and I thought after him, since that was such a disaster, that maybe he pushed you to the other side.
I can't believe Jenna thought that. Why didn't you ever say anything?
She picks up a chunk of her hair and twirls it.
I figured you were trying to work it all out.
Let's get one thing straight. I'm a man fan. Until I met Drew, I never ran across anyone that fired me up. Maybe I'm too picky.
That's what I've always thought, anyway.
She shoots me a sly smile.
Well, Drew has certainly stoked the fires enough for you to buff Louise up.
Okay, no more Louise talk. That's something only for me to know.
You like him a lot, don't you?
Yeah. I had more fun on that date than I've ever had with anyone.
Including me?
She winks.
Different kind of fun, Jenna.
Drew arrives at exactly 1. He looks better than good, dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. When I open the door, the first thing he does is wrap his arms around me and kiss me. I love the feel of him against me.
You look beautiful.
I'm wearing jeans and a long-sleeved top. It's nothing special, but he makes me feel that way.
Thanks. You look great yourself.
I lean in for another kiss. Did you bring your stuff up?
No, I left it in the car. Let's go. I want to take you to this place I love. I brought lunch.
Oh, okay. He suggests I bring a jacket or sweatshirt. We hop in his car and take a drive out into the country. It's the first week of October, so the weather is cool. It's a lovely day, and Drew drives us into a really neat old-timey covered bridge. He pulls off the road, and in the back of his car is a backpack that has our lunch.
I picked it up from this great deli in Indy. Downtown Indianapolis has great cafes and delis. One thing I love most about the place. I hope you like sub sandwiches.
I love everything. I'm easy to please, Drew. We walk a bit and find a great place to plop ourselves down. He spreads a blanket and hands out the food. He's right. The subs are great. They bake their own bread and everything, he tells me. While we eat, he talks about medical school and how he didn't know what type of doctor he wanted to be.
How did you know about being a doctor, I mean?
He shrugs.
I just did, ever since I was a little kid.
The sun's rays are streaming through the trees, and they create a halo effect around Drew. His hand brushes through his thick waves, pushing them back off his forehead, and I'm struck at how his face looks like it's been painted. His brows form perfect arches over his startlingly blue eyes, and they sparkle as he speaks. It's then I realize I could gaze at him for hours on end.
What?
He asks. I shake my head, smiling.
Nothing. You are lucky. Not many people know what they want out of life, and you knew at such an early age.
I know. I do count myself as one of the fortunate ones. At first, I thought I wanted to do sports medicine, orthopedics, but then during med school, I did my first rotation in oncology, and I was hooked, just like that.
He clicks his fingers. It doesn't scare you, working with cancer patients?
No, why?
Like, maybe you'll get close to them. I can only imagine how my heart would get broken. I rub my chest, thinking how it would ache.
Ah, I see where you're going. I'll look at it from a different perspective.
He reaches out and brushes the backs of his fingers across my cheek. Which perspective is that?
Cancer isn't what it used to be. There are so many different treatment options, and sometimes patients can live years with it. So I look at it as a way to prolong or extend lives or cure the disease. And if I get close to the patient in the process, then that makes it all the more special. Mind you, I'm still in my residency. I have to do a fellowship in oncology before I'll be able to practice it. And then if I want to specialize, it may be another year after that.
He must be brilliant. Not only is he hot, he's kind, smart, and sweet, too. I stare at him with what I imagine is a goofy-ass smile on my face.
Can I tell you something?
He asks. Sure.
I worked long hours this week and traded today with someone so I could spend it with you. All week, you're the only thing I could think of, Kate.
He grabs my wrist.
Come here.
We're facing each other with our legs crossed. I'm not sure I know what he means.
He pats his leg.
Right here. I want you on my lap so I can kiss you.
I unfold my legs and move over to his lap. I don't want to smash him, so I climb on top and wiggle around until I'm properly seated. I finally look up at him, and he wears an amused expression.
You won't crush me. I'm a fairly large guy, Kate.
But I'm not some tiny petite thing either. Almost before the words leave my mouth, he pulls me against him, his mouth landing on mine. My fingers thread through his hair, something I've been dying to do since he walked in my apartment, and he does the same to mine. Drew's kisses are mind-blowing. I don't know if it's because I'm not very experienced or because he sparks the fire down below. Either way, I heat up. Not just my mouth. Things get seriously hot between my legs. My belly tightens with need so forceful, I end up squirming around on his lap, trying to quench the burn. There isn't a way to do it, so I end up wrapping my legs around him and pressing myself against him. Am I dry humping him? Crap, I need to rein this in. I pull my mouth away from his, and it takes enormous effort.
Everything okay, Kate?
He seems so unaffected by it all. Yeah, fine, good. My voice is all breathy. He leans in for more kissing. I lean back so he can't reach.
Did I do something wrong?
You did everything right. Too right, I think. I bow my head because I don't want him to see my heated cheeks.
Then why avoid my kiss?
I only shake my head.
Please talk to me, Kate. I don't read minds, and if I did something to offend you, I need to know.
I'm aggravated now. I'm not offended, just all horned up here. I was practically dry-humping you. Oh, God, did I say that out loud? Of course I did. Me and my big mouth.
And what's wrong with dry-humping? It's damn sexy. I want you to dry-hump me.
He grabs my hips and squeezes me.
If I knew you better, I'd strip you naked and fuck you silly right now.
Oh, God, why don't you know me better? He throws his head back and laughs. Before I know it, I'm laughing with him. He's so easy to be with. After we stop with the laughter, he says,
Don't ever shut me out. I don't like guessing games. Hell, I hate any kind of games. Just tell me. I love how you're frank about things. Don't ever change. Now can I kiss those sexy lips of yours some more?
Is that all you want to kiss? I ask.
No. Before too long, I will be kissing every single inch of you.
He doesn't smile. He only pins me with his incredible eyes. They're so intense right now, I can't break the connection. Good. I can't wait. I hope I don't have to wait too long.
No, not too long. But not today. I'm kind of old-fashioned in that regard.
Disappointment rushes into me. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm going to be the pursuer.
Hey, don't look so sad, Drew says. I promise I'll make it worth the wait.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And then his lips are on mine again, doing what they do best, turning me into one dry-humping maniac. That night, Drew takes me to dinner. We end up at a steakhouse at his insistence. I feel guilty because it's a lot of money.
Will you at least let me impress you a little?
He asks. He swirls his wine in his glass before he drinks it. I take a sip of mine, and it's delicious. He ordered for me because I'm clueless about ordering wine. Okay, but you don't have to try. You impressed me the first time you walked through my door.
Ah, well, that's good to know. It's burgers and fast food from now on for you, then.
I bite my lip to stifle a laugh. I need him to know something. Drew, it doesn't take much to make me happy. His smile disappears, and he grabs my hand.
I can see that. I want to make you happy, Kate.
You do. I'm happy when I'm with you. A grin spreads across his face.
I want to ask you something. Would you like to come to Indy next weekend?
You'd want to put up with me for the entire weekend? I'm curious about where he lives, who he hangs out with. Of course I'd love to go.
I do have a slight confession to make. I have a short shift on Saturday, from 6 to noon. Would that be a problem for you?
Not at all. I could actually get some studying done. It gives me a megawatt smile.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah. I grin back at him.
There's something else. On Saturday afternoon, I have a hockey match.
My brow creases when he says this. Hockey? I know nothing about the sport. Where the hell did he learn to play?
I can tell you're not interested, are you?
He misinterpreted my silence. Oh, no, that's not it at all. I was trying to figure out where you learned to play. Growing up in Charleston, I mean, ice skating wasn't exactly common.
You're right. I didn't pick it up until Purdue. Promise me you won't laugh when I tell you this.
He has the most serious look on his face. I promise.
I took figure skating lessons when I got to college. I loved hockey so much and wanted to learn to play, but I knew I needed to learn how to skate first. So I sucked it up and took the lessons. It was awful. A ton of little girls and me on figure skates. Learning how to do the salchow, lutz, toe loop, and the axel. Fun times. I busted my ass like you would not believe, but I learned. And when I was proficient, I joined a hockey league. I was still crappy, but I improved over time, and now I'm fairly decent.
Hockey? I'm amazed that he plays.
So, do you think you'd want to come to my game?
When I think about Drew all fitted out in his uniform, I grab his arm and say, I wouldn't miss it for the world. But I have to tell you, I know nothing about hockey.
I can teach you. It's pretty basic. A lot like soccer, except it's faster.
Yeah. Okay, then next weekend it is. I'll drive up on Friday.
Perfect.
Our food arrives, and it is delicious. The steaks are perfect. No wonder he wanted to eat here. The dessert menu is drool-worthy, and we both order chocolate soufflés, which melt in our mouths. We end the evening back at my place. He walks around to let me out of the car, and while he's helping me out, he bends down to kiss me.
I can't ever remember enjoying myself so much, Kate.
Neither can I. He takes my hand and we walk upstairs. Jenna is out, so we plop on the couch. I turn to him and say, I want you to sleep with me tonight.
It might be too much of a temptation.
Is he for real? What kind of guy says stuff like that? Most of them do anything they can to get in your pants.